Amen. All of the areas we have spoken on previously with regards to maturity will be and are impossible if we do not mature in prayer. It would be impossible. You must understand that for the life of a believer, prayer is not a unfortunate obligation. How many of us honestly have seen prayer as a task? A task. It's like a grocery list. Or a task list for my day. I got to go to the grocery store. Check. Got to wash my clothes. Check. Got to go to the bank. Check. How many know those are tasks? Okay, they're important tasks, but they're tasks nonetheless. But prayer is not a task. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is an opportunity for a finite man, a finite person, a person who is limited in strength, limited in time, limited in knowledge, limited in ability to talk to a limitless God. It's a privilege to get to pray. It's not a task, it's not a chore, and it should not be a burden, at least not in that sense. Should not be a burden. The enemy wants us as believers to live, listen to this, prayerless or prayer light lives. See, some of us, our issue, we graduated. It's not that we don't pray. We just don't pray much. It's not that we don't pray. We just don't pray consistently. It's not that we do not pray, but prayer is not always a priority in our lives. And that's where your enemy, your adversary, the devil, wants you to be. He wants you to live a prayerless Christian life. But you must understand that a prayerless Christian life is a powerless Christian life. Powerless. It's impotent. It's unable to function as it was designed. It has no strength. Is your walk weak today? Is your walk strengthless? Is your walk a continual struggle? You might want to check your prayer life. As a side point, everything God has for us corporately as a church body, as a local fellowship, and individually will only be birthed through prayer. Prayer is the birthing canal that pulls things out of the mind of God and out of the realm of the spirit into the realm of the natural. You must understand that though God is God and he's omniscient and he's omnipotent and he's all powerful and he's all knowing, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere at the same time, that because of the authority that God has given human beings to function in the earth, God can do nothing in the earth if we do not pray. Why does God let things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Oftentimes, it's because we are not a praying people. You would be amazed the things that could be averted in your life and in others' lives if you would only pray. God, because of the way that he has set things up, does not exercise his authority absent of your will. He doesn't just exercise his authority. If he did, then you would be a different person. Come on. He don't just exercise his authority. He don't take that beer out your hand. He don't exercise his authority. He don't take a joint out your mouth. He doesn't just exercise his authority. He don't lock the door so you can't get into the room with that person that you're about to commit fornication with. Come on. He don't shut your mouth and make you mute when you're about to tell a lie. It's not his will that you lie. It's not his will that you fornicate. It's not his will that you're hateful and mean. It's not his will that we're not submissive people. That's not his will, but guess what? He does not impose his will against yours. If that's the case, then how can we blame God when he does not move in circumstances we don't invite him into? Prayer is the legal document. Come on, work with me in here. Prayer is the legal document that you sign that gives God permission to do what he wants to do in your life. My God. Come on, just touch somebody and tell them, I would start praying if I were you. I would start praying if I were you. Whatever God has for you, it's going to be birthed on the back of prayer. Why do y'all think we pray as much as we pray in this church? Why do you think we harp on intercessory prayer? Why is that important? Is it just because we don't want you to drink coffee in the lobby? Is it because we want to break up your pre-church fellowship? No, it's because whatever God is going to do, he will only do it through prayer. Yes, yes, yes. And when we come together, we are commanded to corporately pray. Jesus said, my house, more than he talked about worship, more than he talked about all of the other business of church, he said, my house will be called a house of prayer. My house will be called a house of prayer. It is God's expectation that when we come together corporately, we corporately pray. I just want you to help your neighbor today. And I want you to just touch them and say, neighbor, your prayer matters. Your prayer matters. Your prayer matters. It matters to your life. It matters to your family. It matters to your circumstance. And it matters to your church fellowship. Come on, somebody. It matters. It matters. I know you may not feel powerful. You may not feel anointed. You may not feel eloquent. You may feel that you don't know the words to say. But do you know that God don't care about swelling big words? Do you know that God doesn't care about the public performance of prayer? Come on. He doesn't care about how eloquent you are. And he doesn't care. Come on, somebody. All he wants to know is that you are willing to talk to him in your own little way, in your own little simple language, and invite him in to every circumstance and every situation that's going on in your life. He says, all you got to do is pray. I love what the Bible says. He says, ask and it shall be given. We're talking about prayer. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. When you study that passage, it actually means to ask and keep on asking. My God. It means to seek and keep on seeking. It means to knock and keep on knocking. See, you got to understand that there is a breakthrough and a discipline that is developed through praying consistently. In other words, he's saying, if you seek me consistently, if you pray consistently, I will not deny you. I will not deny you. Prophet and I were speaking the other day, and one of the biggest issues we agreed upon was that because of the calling on this church and each of your lives individually, that the enemy is making us fight for every inch of ground. Like every little inch. I'm going to say it again. If anybody is really in tune with the level of spiritual warfare that's going on in your life, you would have to admit things aren't coming just easily. That it's requiring a fight for every inch of ground. The enemy is playing for keeps. He's pulling out all the stops. He's throwing everything and the kitchen sink. Come on, somebody, to try to stop us from acquiring and achieving the divine purpose, destiny, and calling for our lives individually and by extension, our lives as a church.
Amen.
He's trying to stop us. He has turned up the heat. Oh, God. It's hot. It's hot. It ain't getting hot in here. It's hot. It's hot. The enemy has turned, and you can come in here and you can smile and you can worship and you can wave and you can act like everything is all right. But I come to tell you, I know you in a fight. I know you in a fight. I know you asking God, God, when? My God, I've been praying and pushing and God, when? I know you're in a fight. The enemy is making you fight for every inch of ground. My God. Enemy isn't giving up nothing easy. You ain't getting no easy points. You ain't getting no easy layups. He fouling you now. He fouling you. When you try to come in and you trying to be sweet with it, he fouling. Like, no, you're not getting this easy. Advance is the name of our church. Advance is the name of our church. I need you to understand this, that when you connect to a house, you not only connect to the blessing of that house, but you connect to the warfare of that house. I'm going to say it one more time. When you connect to a church, when you connect to a ministry, when you connect to a body of believers, when you connect to a fellowship, you don't just connect to the blessing. You don't just connect to the purpose and the destiny and the anointing of that house. You also are connected to the warfare of that house. See, the devil isn't just fighting you because of you. Ah, God, I'm going to say it again. The enemy isn't just fighting you because of you. He's fighting you because of what you are connected to. Advance is not merely a term that denotes forward movement. Okay? It does mean that. Advance does mean forward movement. Somebody say forward movement. But it's also a military term. Oh, God, help me in here. It's a military term that denotes forcefully taking territory. I love what the word of God says. It says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. And the violent take it by force. You got to know that when you enter into the kingdom and the army and you connect with a ministry like Advance, you have signed up for a fight. My God, I know you just want to have church. I know you just want to be cute. I know you just want somewhere to say, I got membership there. I can get some counseling if I need it. Well, my pastor will marry me.
Come on.
Come on. See, you. I know you might have connected to a ministry, this ministry, for the benefits of being connected to a local fellowship. But you got to understand that there are deeper things afoot, that there is a greater purpose and a greater responsibility that you have enrolled in a fight. Come on, look at somebody and say, we in a fight. Just don't even doubt it. We are in a fight. But we are called not to back down,
amen.
Not to retreat, not to be afraid, not to give up, not to faint, not to throw in the towel, not to relent, not to take back our word, not to remove ourselves from our commitment, but we must fight. We must forcefully take the land that God has promised us. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, take it by force. Take it by force. So prayer is critical for our personal relationship with God, yes? And for the outward expression of that relationship, which is our service to God. So what am I saying? Prayer has two main things that it supports. It supports your personal relationship. That's you and Jesus. Me and Jesus. We got our own thing going. Y'all know nothing about that. That's country. That's country. You tell I've been exposed to a whole lot of different kind of church, right? So you got to understand that your personal relationship, your personal, somebody say my personal. My personal relationship is supported by prayer. Okay? If I do not pray, my personal relationship with the Lord will suffer. Okay? Supports my personal relationship. Your personal relationship has nothing to do with what you do. Okay? All right. We go over here. Your personal relationship has nothing to do with your title. Okay. Your personal relationship has nothing to do with whatever ministry you serve in here. Your personal relationship, it has nothing to do with any of that. Doesn't have anything to do with your gift. I said your personal relationship, your gift, it's not an indication that your personal relationship is being maintained. Your gift will work because it's a gift. Your gift will work because he will use whomever he wills.
That's what
1 Corinthians 12 teaches us, that the Holy Spirit will administer certain gifts as he wills. It has nothing to do with your relationship. Y'all know you can still prophesy? Means nothing.
Amen.
I know you can still preach? Means nothing. I know you still cry when you worship. Means nothing. And a lot of times we mistake the criers in the house for people with great relationships. See, relationship is not walked out in church. God, help me. Help me, help me, help me. I said relationship, real relationship with the Lord is not walked out in church. See, real relationship with God is, who are you when you get home? Oh, it got quiet. I feel my Presbyterian anointing falling in the house. It's getting strong in here. I said real relationship is, who are you at home? Who are you when nobody's looking? That's where you know where your relationship is. What are your phone conversations like? When you think, can't nobody hear it but you and the person you're talking to on the phone. Are they edifying or are they terrifying? Are they building or are they tearing people down? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you when nobody's looking? See, that's where the rubber meets the road. And that's where true relationship with God is demonstrated in our lifestyle, in our everyday life. Either he is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. I'm going to say it again. Either he's Lord of all, or I said Lord of all. Everything in your life. All. Somebody say all. Not that little stuff you keep holding on to that you don't want God to mess with. Either he's Lord of all. Every attitude, every mindset, every belief system, every disposition. Either he is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Somebody say that's relationship.
That's relationship.
That's relationship. Here's how relationship works with the Lord Jesus. He says, if you love me, go to church. No, that's not what he said. He said, if you love me, sing in the right key. No, that's not what he said. He said, if you love me, give all your money. No. He said, if you love me, keep. See, relationship with God is about obedience. It's not about talking to God and then going to do what you're going to do anyway.
Exactly.
It's not about asking God what he wants you to do, but you really just want him to confirm what you want to do. That's not. Oh, I said it was getting strong in here. That's not what it's about. Relationship is when I commune with him. He communes with me. It's when he tells me what to do and I do it. Because he's Lord. See, you got to understand, when we think about relationship, we have a certain mindsets that we go into when we think about relationship. Do you know there are different kinds of relationships, right? You got romantic relationships, marital relationships. You got parent-child relationship. You got friends relationship. How many of you know that all of those relationships have different looks?
Yeah.
Different requirements, right? How many of you know that you are in relationship with your employer?
Yeah.
You're in relationship with your employer. You're in relationship. Different levels, different kinds of relationship. Different requirements to be in that relationship. So when you are in relationship with your employer, you're in relationship. They've agreed to pay you if you do a particular job. Okay, it's a relation. Come on, walk with me. It's a relationship, but it has certain requirements.
That's right.
Right. Now, it don't require you to kiss and hug them.
That's right.
It don't even require you to like them.
That's right.
But it does require that you come and you do the task and you do it accurately and you do it on time. And you do it excellently. And if you hold up your end of the relationship, they hold up theirs. We are in relationship with government. See, we got to pay taxes. We got to follow laws. There are things that we have. It's a relationship. So when we think about relationship with God, I think we put God in the wrong relationship category. So you hear the term relationship and you think my buddy and me
like to climb up a tree. My buddy and me, we're the best friends we could be.
That's how we think about God. We say relationship with God, and we put God on our level. That's not relationship with God. God ain't your buddy like that. He says, I'm your creator. I'm your king. Whew. Oh, yeah, it's a relationship. But don't minimize this relationship and put it on the relationship like you're dealing with a brother or a sister. Come on, somebody. Don't put it down on that level like you're just dealing with some friend. You know how we do friends. You know. You my friend, but if I don't feel like returning your text, I'll get to them. They ain't going nowhere. See, but many of us treat God that way. because we have dummied relationship. We hear the term relationship, and it's an accurate term, but it's not the right shade. See, when you begin to see my relationship with him is he is Father, I am child. He is Lord, I am servant. He is Master, I am student. It's a relationship. But it's not the kind of relationship where I'm in charge. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's why Jesus could make that kind of request. Then he later said, you are my friends when you do what I say. Only a king. Only a Lord can make that kind of association with friendship. My friends, if you're loyal to me, my God, my God. Prayer undergirds relationship. Somebody say relationship. Personal relationship with God. And it also undergirds the relationship to God, which is our service to him. Do you know that you cannot serve God? You will not, let me just say it like this, you will not have longevity in ministry if you do not have a prayer life. And see, the reason why many of us are struggling is because prayer is not undergirding our service. I said prayer is not undergirding our service. I said, prayer is not undergirding. Yeah, you're serving. Yeah, you're dragging yourself out here every week, but it's not being undergirded by prayer. Prayer is one of the ways we demonstrate complete dependency on God. If you didn't hear that message, you got to get that, that Prophet Kendall preached a few weeks back about dependency on God. Prayer is one of the ways we demonstrate complete dependency on God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways. I like translations that say acknowledge him. I don't want to just think about him. How many of you know you can think about me and not acknowledge me? Hello. You know, have you ever thought about, you saw somebody, you thought about them, and you thought about how I'm not going to acknowledge you, though. I thought about you. I saw you when you came in. But you're not getting none today. So don't just think about him. Acknowledge him. Be mindful of him. Acknowledge him. Listen, in all your ways. And he will guide you on the right paths. Do you know it is not God's design for you to figure out the paths of your life? Hello. I said it's not God's design, it's not God's plan, it's not God's will for you to determine your own path. And many of us have gotten caught up in this whole new age mindset. Oh, find yourself, find your own way. You out here wandering, trying everything under the sun, trying to find your own way. When if you would acknowledge God in all of your ways, he will tell you what to do. He will tell you where to go. He will tell you where to live. He will tell you where to work. He will tell you where to connect, and he will tell you where to avoid. But you gotta have complete dependency on him. The world teaches dependency on self. The world teaches dependency on your education. And I don't have an issue, and I'm not coming against education, but you cannot depend on it. I know people that have more degrees than a thermometer, and they can't open one door for themselves. Amen. They can't find a job. It's people under the bridge smarter than you. Amen. You better hear what I'm saying. You better watch who you walking by out here in the street and turning your nose up. They got more degrees than you do. One thing caused them to lose their mind. One thing, God help me, a loss of a loved one, a loss of a business, and they completely cracked and crumbled. Because that's not the stuff that holds you together. The thing that holds you together when everything is falling apart is a relationship with God. The thing that holds your mind together, everybody loses people. Everybody has somebody pass away in their family. Everybody loses relationships. It happens. Everybody loses a job. But the thing that holds us together, those of us that know God, that we know that if I go down with God, God will lift me back up. God will hold my mind together. That is a resource. I love you, but I don't love you more than God. I love the job, but I don't love the job more than I love God. If I lose it, God, he's still God. If I lose them, he's still God. My God. Somebody say dependency. Prayer also demonstrates submission to the will of God. Do you know it takes humility to pray? What do I mean by humility? It takes a mindset that is willing to admit that I don't know how to run my own life. And do you know why many of our lives are in a mess? Because we haven't come to that realization. We haven't come to the realization that we're not as smart as we think we are. We don't have it together as much as we think. We're not as strong. Some of us put on this false facade of strength. Strong for everybody else, dying on the inside. That's what the woman of God preached a couple weeks ago. Sister Sharon, strong on the outside, dying on the inside. Putting on the facade, there for everybody else. Go home at night and cry yourself to sleep. Won't ask for help. Oh, God, help me. Won't admit weakness while you dying. Come on, somebody. See, you got to understand that true strength is in admitting weakness. God, help me. Listen. Listen to what the Bible says. He says, for my strength. This is what he told Paul. He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. For Paul said, for when I am weak, then am, come on. So who told you to be strong for everybody? Who told you that you couldn't take a day off? Who told you that you couldn't have a moment? Who told you that they couldn't make it without you? Trust and believe, boo-boo. They will figure out a way to make it without. They will bury you and they will find somebody else to leech off of. God, you don't hear what I'm saying. Don't you think that the world gonna stop rotating if you don't help? Oh, listen, that's a revelation, because sometimes as pastors, we think that things can't function without us. Trust. They will cry, they will bury you, and they will hire a new one. And after a few months, and maybe a little longer than that, if you got a couple people that really loved you, they won't even talk about you no more. See, you got to understand that humility and submission and humility are necessary to pray. It takes knowing I need God, knowing I need direction, knowing I need strength, knowing I need help. No, you will never pray until you come to that. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You will never pray. Prayer will never become a part of your life as long as you think you are sufficient. Prayer will never become a priority in your life as long as you think you got it all together and you got a handle on things. Prayer demonstrates submission to the will of God. It says, like Jesus told his disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It says there is a plan greater than mine. That's what praying says. It says there is a plan. There is a purpose greater than mine. There is a strategy greater than mine. There are things I do not see. There are things I do not know. There are blind spots in my life. And the only way I'm going to be covered is if the Spirit of God reveals to me what God is saying and what God is doing. I don't know about you, but I don't want my will anymore. I don't want my will. Let me tell you something. Let's just keep it real, keep it funky, keep it 100. My will has gotten me in nothing but trouble. Come on. My will has caused me nothing but heartache. My will has done nothing but destroy relationships. My will has, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. My will has cost me money and cost me jobs and cost me friends. I don't want my will no more. God, I need your will. God, I need you to tell me what to do. God, I need you to tell me what the next step is for my life. Woo, glory. Yeah. Every time I get in my will, I mess it up. Every time I get in my will, I make a mistake. Every time I get in my will, I get in my flesh. Every time. My will is corrupt. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. My will is limited. My will is blinded by sin. My will is not the right thing. Come on, tell somebody and tell them, get in his will. Get in his will. Prayer demonstrates submission to the will of God. What are some signs? I'm heading around the bases. What are some signs of a prayerless or prayer-light life? I'm going to give you some indications. You're taking notes. Number one is a lack of synchronization with the mind and purpose of God for your life. You are out of sync. You are marching to the beat of your own drum, but you're out of sync with the rhythm of heaven. Jesus said in John 5 and 19, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. Listen to this synchronization. Listen to what happens when someone has a prayer life. He says he only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. But when you don't have a prayer life, your life is out of sync because you're only doing you. That's the biggest lie this world ever told us, is to do you. Do you? Hasn't doing you produced enough pain? Hasn't doing you produced enough mess? Hasn't doing you, come on somebody, if we would just be honest, when we do us, it never works out in our favor. So that's the first sign. It's you're out of step. There's a lack of synchronization. Is your life out of sync with the will of God right now? Is your life out of step? I guarantee you it's a prayer issue. It's a lack of prayer. Number two, a greater inability to deal with temptation. Oh, God. This is what prayerless life or prayer light life produces. It produces a greater inability to deal with temptation. Now, let me help you. Can I help y'all? Now, I know some of us maybe deal with certain kinds of temptations, like, you know, lust of, you know, things, people, situations, sexual things. But do y'all know temptation is way bigger than that? Do you know that you can be tempted? Anytime you are tempted to disobey God, it's still a temptation. The temptation not to read your word, that's a temptation. Hello? The temptation not to forgive, that's a temptation. The temptation to run your mouth, it's a temptation. Right? You know, for those of us that have graduated, or what we consider graduated, past certain kinds of temptation. Right. And let's just keep it honest. Some of us have only graduated only because of a lack of opportunity. Hard to be tempted if it ain't available. Hard to say, I got victory. I got this because your phone ain't ringing. It ain't no temptation. You ain't got no victory. If victory is the phone ringing, I don't answer it. That's victory over temptation. Victory is shown when I'm actually tempted and I overcome it. But when you don't pray, your spiritual defenses are low. Look at this. Matthew 4, Jesus had spent 40 days. 40 days. Come on, y'all.
I'm just going to be honest. 40 days of fasting and prayer.
You know, 40, y'all. Come on, 4-0. Not 4, 4-0. 40, he's in the wilderness. He ain't got a sandwich nowhere. Ain't no refrigerator nowhere. Come on, ain't no lake nowhere. He can't catch no, like, nothing. Nothing to eat, nothing to drink. 40 days fasting, listen, and praying in the wilderness. Jesus comes out of fasting and praying and immediately is tempted. And listen, he wasn't tempted by no imp. He wasn't tempted by no private demon. He was tempted, the devil himself. Some of us, we can't stand temptation from an imp. Could you imagine if the devil himself visited you? The devil himself showed up. He ain't send nobody to tempt Jesus. But though Jesus was weak in body, he was strong in spirit. Because he had spent time in the face and in the presence of God. He was prepared for temptation because he was prayed up. Do you know when you are prayed up, your flesh can want it? Oh, did y'all realize he was hungry after this? I left that part out. He was hungry. His flesh needed something. Come on, somebody. Do you know your flesh can need something that can be subdued by prayer? Your flesh can be subdued. Y'all don't hear me. Your desires can be subdued. You can want it and still say no. But without prayer, you have no defense because your spirit man is weak. That's why you can't say no. That's why you fall every time the opportunity. That's why you go through cycles of sin. It's a prayer issue. It's a prayerless or a prayer light life. I'm going to move off that. Y'all looking at me. Here's another sign of a prayerless or a prayer life, another sign, another indication that there's a problem, a feeling of disconnection and apathy. Oh, God. You know what we do when we start feeling disconnected? We blame other folks. We blame the church. We blame the worship. We blame, they just don't feel the same no more. I just don't know. I just feel so disconnected. I just going through the motions. I'm going to tell you where you're going through the motions in your prayer life. If you have a prayerless or a prayer life light, you can rest assured you are going to feel disconnected. Why? Because you are. It is not our job to keep you feeling connected. Hello. It is not our job to keep you energized and excited every week. Do you know if you stay in the presence and in the face of God that he will keep you feeling connected? As a matter of fact, the only connection you need is to be connected to the vine, and we stay connected to the vine through communication with the vine. Jesus, that's how you stay connected. That's how you stay plugged in. Stop blaming your disconnection on stuff that's not the issue. The issue why you feel apathetic and disconnected is because you are not staying connected in prayer. You are not staying in the face of God. You are not letting God continue to deal with your heart and your mind. He does this in the womb, in the crucible of prayer. That's where he talks to you. That's where he tells you to get your attitude right. That's where he tells you your flesh is getting too strong. That's where he tells you. Well, God ain't talking to me. You ain't talking to him. God can't talk to you if you don't meet him in the garden, my God, early in the morning, in the cool of the day. God is waiting on you. God ain't talking. God is talking. We're not putting ourselves in a position to hear. Jesus. Here's the fourth thing. Here's an indication that there's a prayer light or prayerless life. Spiritual fatigue and burnout. I said it earlier. In my introduction, I'm saying it again a different way. You cannot serve God, serve in his house, serve in his ministry, serve in his work without a prayer life. Do you know that your strength is limited? Hello. Do you know your strength is limited? I'm going to say it again. Do you know that your strength, yours, your strength is limited. Do you know the demands of the work of the ministry cannot be fulfilled in your own strength? Jesus. Do you know if you don't continue to refill yourself in prayer in the presence of God that you will run out of steam? Many of us, let me tell you the issue, many of us, while we're experiencing this, is because we are not working out of our relationship. We are not working out of our devotion. We're not working out of our own communion with the Lord. We're not working out of our communion with the Holy Spirit. We are working out of our own personal resolve. We are working out of our own personal reserve. We are working. Do you know why after, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Do you know why after 7.5 years, I'm still not tired? Because I'm not working from me. And I will go out on a limb to all of you ministers and all you burnt out folks that feel like you can't handle and can't do no more. You ain't working no harder than me. That's right. Oh, God. Right. I'm going to say it again. You're not working no harder than me. Hello. You ain't pouring out no more than I'm pouring out. But you tired. You burnt out. You ready to quit. Do you know why? Because you've not tapped into the reservoir and the resource. Oh, I don't have, I just can't do no more. They just asking too much. No. You're working from the wrong place. If you work from the place of relationship, if you serve him out of your communion, if you serve him out of the Spirit of God, he will empower you. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Yeah, ministry is tiring to the natural man. Oh, God. It's tiring. I said it's tiring. It's tiring, particularly when we are working out of ourselves and not out of the grace of God. Come on, somebody. The ministry is tiring to the natural man, but we don't move out of the natural man. We have to flow out of the spiritual man. And the only way to flow out of the spiritual man is to continue to bolster and feed that spiritual man, build that spiritual man up in prayer. When you serve God from the right place, you can't be burned out. He won't allow it. But if you serve God without God, oh boy, I said, if you serve God without God, you will get burnt out. You will quit. You will quit all your auxiliaries. You will step down from ministry. You'll stop coming to church because you're working in your own strength. Oh, it's too much. No, you're just working from the wrong place. Oh, God. So who is our greatest example of maturing in prayer? Who said it? Say it out loud. Jesus. Jesus is our greatest example of maturing. Isn't that amazing? I wouldn't think it would be Jesus. I would think it would be Paul or Peter or one of the disciples or maybe some miscellaneous random prophet. I would think Agabus or somebody. I would think that they would be our example as believers. But Jesus, like, no, I got this. I got this. He says, I will be the example of how you live a God-led, a God-maturing, a God-centered, a God-strengthened, an assignment-driven life. I will show you how it's done. Whew. Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. Jesus was the very Son of God, even God himself in the flesh. He had a consistent, there it is. Somebody say consistent. Again, he didn't have prayer light. My God. He didn't have prayer less, but he had a consistent, somebody say consistent. He had a consistent, listen, and fervent. Jesus did not pray passively. Oh, Father. You know the pictures. Right. He's in Gethsemane. And the globe around his head and the light is shining down. And he's, oh, Father, take this cup from me. No. Jesus prayed, y'all. I know y'all think, you know, y'all a little wild in here. Y'all pray hard, you know. Does it really require all of that? Listen, when the weight of the world is on your shoulders, you don't hear what I'm... When the devil is after your children, when the devil is after your home, when the devil is after your finances, when a disease attacks your body, I guarantee you, you'll find a new appreciation for fervent prayer. You won't want, you when you come to the altar for prayer, you won't want somebody just saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, amen, heal them. Now go be healed. And you go sit down. You go sit down and feel robbed. Yeah. Like, did you just hear what I said I had? Yeah. Did you hear what I said? The doctors, did you hear what I said? And that's it? Why? Because you expect some fervent prayer when it's real. Jesus didn't just pray consistently. Jesus prayed fervently. He prayed with his emotions. He prayed with his strength. He prayed with his energy. He prayed with his might. The Bible says here in Hebrews 5:7 that during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions, listen to this, with loud cries. Whew. My God, all of this mamsy-pamsy weak prayer, and it don't take all that. If Jesus had to cry out, sometimes you got to cry out. Sometimes you got to lift your voice and say, oh, God, I need your help. Oh, God, I need you to come through. Oh, God. My God, God save my children. God save my husband. God bring my husband. Sometimes you got to cry out. Jesus is the example. He's the example of the necessity for prayer. He cried out and with tears. Oh, my God. My God. My God. Even in the garden, he prayed so fervently and so intensely that the Bible says great drops of sweat as of blood begin to flow out of him. Whew. Glory. Glory. See, sometimes y'all too cute. Some of y'all are too cute in prayer.
Well, I don't pray like that, and that's just not really my personality.
And see, but you ain't went through a trial. You haven't went through something that's heavy enough and hard enough that you ain't sure. I mean, you know God is with you, but you ain't sure, and so you got to raise your voice just a little bit just in case God ain't quite hearing too good. Sometimes you got to cry out of your soul for breakthrough. Sometimes you got to cry out of your soul for deliverance. Sometimes you got to cry out of your soul, bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. God, you've seen how long I've been going through this. You've seen how, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Sometimes you got to cry out with tears unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had a consistent and fervent prayer life. Look at this. And he consulted the Father in and for all things. What I love about Jesus is Mark 1:35 says that early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house. Look at this. He didn't just get up and roll to his knees on the side of the bed. Jesus got up, got himself together, put some clothes on before anybody got up, before the crow began to crow out that it was time to wake up, that the sun was rising. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. My God, where's your solitary place? Where's your place where you can shut out? I know you can pray in the car. I know you can pray on the side of the bed. I know we can pray in the shower, but sometimes you got to have a solitary place. Sometimes you have to have a place where you can go, where you shut out all distractions, where you shut out the noise of life and the noise, and leave your phone out of the place. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Leave your phone. Stop praying with your phone. How are you praying and looking at your phone? Is he getting ready to text you? You think God gonna text you? Come on, somebody. You got to go to a solitary place. Matthew 14:23 says, after he had dismissed them, listen, he got finished ministering. After he had ministered and poured out, he didn't just go to Denny's. He didn't just go to the Olive Garden, but it says he dismissed the service and he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Is it possible that you are not being refilled because you are pouring out, and instead of going and asking the Father to refill you, you're going and filling your belly? Whew. Glory, glory. See, if you're going to continue to pour out to people, if you're going to continue to minister to others, if you're going to continue to minister to the masses, if you're going to continue to deal with them kids, y'all don't hear what I'm saying, if you're going to continue to deal with the stuff that you're dealing with on your job, you're going to have to learn how to dismiss. Amen. Dismiss it and find yourself somewhere to pray. Luke 6:12 says, one of those days, went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. My God. Jesus. Jesus prayed. If Jesus saw prayer as a critical part of his relationship and his ability to fulfill his assignment, how can we think we will be successful without it? Jesus. Jesus prayed. He prayed. And get this. His prayers weren't just selfish. He did pray for strength. He did pray for guidance. He did pray for the will of the Father. But he also prayed for people. He prayed. He prayed. He prayed, he prayed, he told Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail you not. He prayed for his disciples. He said, God, he said, these, I didn't lose one that you gave me except the one. My God, I didn't lose them. He prayed for them, and then he prayed for us that would come in the future. And then the Bible says that not only did he pray when he was on earth for us, that but now he is our intercessor. Jesus is our chief intercessor. Jesus is still praying. Even though he is not here physically on the earth, he's still praying, making intercession for you and me, saying, God, they're my children. God, I died for them. God, the enemy is desiring to have them, that he may sift them as wheat. But he's still praying. He's praying that our faith doesn't fail. He's praying that we not go and fall into temptation. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. This prayer thing must be powerful. When I look at the life of Jesus, when I look at the miracles that Jesus did, when I look at the ministry that Jesus did by foot, it had to be a prayer life to preach to thousands with no microphone, to feed thousands with two fish and five loaves of bread, to disappear through the crowd when they were trying to kill him. It was prayer. Prayer. Prayer is the place of exchange. I don't know what you're carrying today. I don't know what's troubling your mind. I don't know what's heavy on your heart, but prayer is the place of exchange. Prayer is the place where I can cast my burden and receive his peace. Prayer is the place where I can release my question and get his answer. Prayer is the place where I can release my confusion and get his stability. Prayer is the place where I can release my sorrow and get his joy. Prayer is the place. It's the place of exchange. I wish somebody would change their mind about prayer. I wish somebody would see prayer as a critical thing. Prayer is the place of surrender. Prayer is the place where I lay down my will for his. Prayer is the place where I lay down my attitude. Prayer is the place where I give God my struggles. Prayer is the place where I give God my fears and my insecurity. Prayer is the place where I surrender, where I say, okay, God, I'm going to pick up my cross again. I'm going to pick up my cross another day and follow you. Prayer is the place where I surrender to the will of God. Prayer is the place of petition. Prayer is the place where I am able to make my request be made known unto God. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The Bible says that if I, in John 5, that if I pray according to his will, he hears me. And if he hears me, I have the petitions that I have. That's where I can go to God and ask him for, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I can go to God and ask him for whatever I need. I can go to God and ask him for more strength. I can go to God and ask him for more help. I can go to God and ask him to adjust my heart in a particular situation and circle. I can go to God and say, God, I need more love. I can go to God. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I can go and make my petitions to him. Prayer is the place of petition. Prayer is the place we commune with and receive direction from God. If we don't mature in prayer, we won't mature in any other area.
That's right.
I'm going to say it again. If we don't mature in prayer, we don't mature in any other area. Why am I not maturing? Because you haven't taken on prayer. Why am I still struggling with this? Because you're not taking it to the place of surrender. Why is this thing not changing? Because you asked, but you didn't keep on asking. Whew. I come against that lying spirit that says that if you ask more than once, it means that there's no faith. No, I'm asking more than once because I believe. I'm not asking again because I don't believe. I'm not asking again. He told me to ask and keep on asking. He told me if he ain't gave me no answer yet, I'm going to ask because I know the answer is coming. I'm going to seek God. I feel God. I'm going to seek and keep on seeking. I'm going to seek his face early in the morning. I'm going to seek his face late at night. I'm going to get in his face until my face start looking like his face. I'm going to seek his face till I know him in a better way. I'm going to seek his face till he gives me revelation of his word. I'm going to seek his face. And I'm going to knock and keep on knocking. I will not be denied. Come on, somebody. I see you got to get tenacious in your prayer life. You have to get tenacious in your mindset. You have to refuse to be denied. You have to knock and keep on knocking and keep on knocking and keep on knocking. There's, if he's behind the door, he will answer it. We have to mature, guys. We have to mature in this area. This is critical to the maturation process. Prayer. Talk to God. Listen to God. Commune with him. Worship him in prayer. Do you know there's so much you can do in that prayer time? That it's not just you yapping off a bunch of stuff that you need all the time. Sometimes you just go into prayer and thank him. Sometimes you just go into prayer and say, I just want to be in your presence. I just want you to talk to me. What do you want to say, Father? What do you want to say? What do you want to? I want to be in synchronicity with your heart. I want to be in synchronicity. I want to know that what I'm doing is what you're doing. That what I'm saying is what you're saying. That where I'm going, I'm supposed to go in that direction. Somebody say prayer. It's no form, pray. It's no fashion, pray. It's no formula, pray. Just talk to God. Come on, you ain't got to key up and tune up and, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. You ain't got to key up. You ain't got to sound like me. You ain't got to sound like prophet. You ain't got to sound like Minister Alex. You don't have to sound like Minister Sharon. You can just talk to God from your heart, and he will hear you, and he will answer. Old song says, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him about your trouble. He'll hear your faintest cry, and he'll answer. Bye. He'll answer you. If you are a believer, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is obligated to answer your prayer. He's obligated. He promised. I said he promised to answer. Even if the answer is no. Even if the answer is not now. Even if the answer is not yet. Stand on your feet.